This is an AMI podcast.
Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Just before we get to Karen McKay from the Center for Equitable Library Access, we do have some breaking news. You can tell it's breaking because I'm reading it off my phone. Travel restrictions at the Canada-US border will remain in place for at least another month. Public Safety Minister Bill Blair says the American and Canadian governments are extending restrictions on non-essential international travel until July 21st. He adds in a tweet that the government will provide details on Monday about plans to let fully vaccinated Canadians and permanent residents enter the country. So that's a bit of breaking news to pass along with you this morning. One more month of a closure of the Canada-US border to non-essential travel. Let's bring in Karen McKay from the Center for Equitable Library Access to find out what's going on in the world of literature. Hey, good morning, Karen. Thank you for making time to be with us today. Do we have Karen? We do not have Karen yet. It's the phone. You're calling her on the phone, Sam. Literally calling her on the phone in the midst of the moment, bringing in Karen McKay to find out what's going on in the world of accessible literature. You know, I wrote that intro this morning for the news panel topic about the Springsteen on Broadway show, and I think I deserved a Pulitzer for that intro. So we'll try to submit that one and see if I can get into the 2022 rankings. We have Karen McKay on the line. Hey, good morning, Karen.
Good morning. I'll vote for you for the Pulitzer.
Thank you. You haven't even read the intro yet, and you're voting for me. See, that's the kind of teamwork we have here, Karen. So speaking of the Pulitzer, we had an announcement this week that Louis Edrick won the Pulitzer Prize in Fiction for The Night Watchman. So, Karen, give us a bit of a synopsis of this book. What's it all about?
So this book is based on the life of her maternal grandfather, who was a night watchman on a reservation in North Dakota, which was threatened in the 1950s by legislation to take over the land. So the book weaves together not only the story of the political fights that they have, but also it talks about sort of the past generations and of his family and how they have fought for their land and how they fight for opportunities for their community and also how they fight for connections with one another. There's a wayward sibling that needs to be found, and it's a wide ranging story, but it's beautifully written.
Is The Night Watchman available in the Sela collection?
It is. So we actually have two different copies in the collection, both since audio, but really it's a fantastic book.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Now let's talk about the winner here, Louis Edrich. Now, obviously it's a big, big deal to win the Pulitzer, but what are some of her other works?
So she actually has won some other prizes. She won the National Book Critics Circle Prize for her book called La Rose. And your listeners might also know her for The Roundhouse. These books were both, they were both books with buzz. So she's a fantastic writer. She's First Nations Indigenous herself and in the States. And so she brings that authenticity to her writing about these topics.
Excellent. Yeah, I know this one. Winning the Pulitzer is a big deal. Actually, Karen, give us a concept here because it's a name that gets tossed around, right? The Pulitzer Prize. But it's a really big deal. This is one of the biggest honors you can win in literature, isn't it?
It is. So the prize isn't huge. It's only $15,000. I'd take it if somebody gave it to me. But but it has a gravitas to say that you have won the Pulitzer. So they recognize literature. They recognize journalism. Really, it's sort of the pinnacle award. It's right up there, I would say, with like the Booker as an international kind of mm-hmm, award. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really has a lot of weight to it, and it's very well known. So it definitely is an honor to win that award.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to add The Night Watchman to my list because that's one that I definitely want to take in here. Let's jump to a program that just launched, a month-long program called Read Atlantic was launched this week to make more ebooks available and accessible. So, Karen, this seems like it's really in your wheelhouse. How does Read Atlantic work?
So this is actually an initiative of the Atlantic Publishers Marketing Association. So they work with their members to make ebooks available to participating libraries. And this year, the libraries in New Brunswick and Nova Scotia are participating. And what they do is they offer ebooks with no restrictions. So folks that use those library systems can download these books on demand. There's no holds, there's no waiting, there's just full access to these books for the month between June and July, June 15th to July 15th. But the publishers, what we love about this is the publishers have also worked to make these books accessible for folks with print disabilities. So they, I don't want to get too technical, but they are working with an EPUB construct to help make sure that those books are available. So some of these books would be able to be read by people with print disabilities using traditional e-readers, but they also wanted to make sure, because there's sometimes technological lags, that everybody could have access. So they've deposited this collection with CELA as well.
Oh, very good, very good. How many books are we talking about in terms of being made available here?
So there's 100 books, and they run the gamut from adults to kids and teens, fiction, nonfiction. There's some poetry in there, short stories. There's really, it's a beautiful collection.
And there were a couple here. Now, these aren't your featured titles, but there were a couple titles that you wanted to make mention of that we should really make sure that we highlight for ourselves.
Yeah, so these are some books with buzz. So one of them, which I think we actually talked about a couple weeks ago, was called Dirty Birds by Morgan Murray. And it's a hilarious crime farce story, which has been nominated for the Stephen Leacock Award. So there's lots to talk about that. It's really funny. It's definitely one to read. It was also on the long list for Canada Reads this year. There's another one called Acadian Driftwood, and that's by Tyler LeBlanc. And it won the 2021 Evelyn Richardson Nonfiction Award and the Democracy 250 Atlantic Book Award for historical writing. So lots of buzz about this book. And the third I wanted to mention is called The Spoon Stealer, which makes me think of my teenage son and all the spoons that are under his bed. Anyway, it was...
Glasses of water and spoons, right, Karen?
Oh, I don't know where they all go. Anyway, so this one won the 2021 Jim Connors Dartmouth Book Award for fiction. So I think I'm going to get it for my son. Anyway, so yeah, these are books to be highlighted. There's also some great kids' books. There's an Eric Walters picture book in the collection. Really, I was going through it the other day, and it's a really lovely collection of books.
Now, Karen, you always like to wrap up our segment and wrap up our broadcast week by sharing a couple of featured readings that always come with a theme. And of course, it is Pride Month this month. So you wanted to highlight a couple of books that have a Pride theme to them. So let's jump into these one by one. Crosshairs, a novel by Catherine Hernandez.
So she's an amazing Canadian author, and she wrote the book Scarborough, which had a lot of buzz a couple years ago. And this book has the same amount of buzz. So this book has been recognized as a Best Book of the Year for Now magazine, CBC Best Canadian Fiction of the Year book, Maclean's 2020 book you need to read, US Today's book, Five Not to Miss book list.
Wow.
So really,
wow.
Lots of people love this book. Yeah. So, but it is intense. So it's a literary dystopian fiction book set in Toronto in the very near future. And there has been a cataclysmic environmental event with massive flooding. And that leads to what you would expect, rampant homelessness, lots of devastation. And there is essentially a dictatorship government regime. And they take this opportunity to force others, and I'm using that in air quotes, but that's one of the words in the books, others into work camps. So they round up communities of color, anyone who's disabled, anybody who is part of the LGBTQ plus into these labor camps. So the hero of the book is Queen Kay. So he's a young drag queen who tells the story through writing letters to his partner who's out of not in this situation. And Kay joins the resistance along with the ragtag band of characters you might expect. And they plan a major uprising at a televised event. So as I said, the book, it is intense. It explores intersectionality in a way that I don't know any other book has done. Mm. It really talks about the meaning of what it is to be othered. And again, I use that in air quotes. It also has some interesting commentary on performative activism and what is the real meaning of allyship. In the book, those who can pass for white, straight, non-disabled folks, so the non-othered folks, support the resistance, as you might expect. But it brings up all these really interesting questions about the idea of motivation, about what it means to be who you are, if that costs you your life or your freedom. It obviously delves into, very intense power dynamics and marginalization and identity. It's incredibly powerful read. I think if you're going to put one on your list, put this one on your list. It is beautifully written. Catherine Hernandez, she's a fantastic writer, and this is a highly recommended book.
Okay, yeah, comes with critical praise, comes with the Karen McKay stamp of approval, definitely being added to my list here. Karen, I've got to hold you to a minute each on these last two that you want to highlight here, but I'm very sorry to do that to you, but the hard out is indeed hard. Real Life, a novel by Brendan Taylor.
Okay, so this is a beautiful story about Wallace, who is a young Black Alabaman man. He's queer, and he is in a Midwestern university town working on his biochem degree. He's left. He thinks he's left behind his past, but as we know, you can't really do that. So he keeps to himself quite a bit. He has a circle of friends, but he's not really open and honest with them. But over the course of a weekend, he has a series of confrontations with his colleagues. He has an unexpected encounter with a what is an ostensibly a straight white classmate, and these encounters fracture his carefully constructed defenses. It is beautifully written as well. It brings an honesty and a vulnerability to the writing, which I don't know is, I think it's pretty rare in first novels. And he crafts these incredible descriptions of emotions and sensations that kind of, it's almost startling how it drops you into the character of the scene. So really fantastic book. If you identify with Wallace, you'll find so many insights. If you are reading it as, you know, as a straight white female, like I might, there's a sense of understanding where someone's coming from that's really profound.
And Karen, again, got to be tight on this one, but Fairest, okay. A memoir by Meredith Ellison.
Okay, really tight. So this is a coming-of-age memoir about a Filipino boy who has albinism and who travels from an immigrant childhood through, gets an academic scholarship to Harvard and has a gender transition. And it talks about all of those things that we want to talk about: sexuality, gender issues, immigration, race, class, privilege, both from a personal perspective and a societal lens. Talks about love and loss in the face of identity. Really beautiful. I think it's one of those rare books, especially rare personal experiences, that is just breathtaking. Breathtaking.
Karen, all three of these sound like absolute must reads. Thank you for making the time to highlight them for us today. Have a great weekend. Good luck finding the spoons around your house, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Take care.